message tonight, like, really excited. Have been since Wednesday. And I only got messages from me, guess what? But I won't spoil the surprise for a moment. The message tonight is entitled From Passover to Pentecost. Passover to Pentecost. Wednesday night we were in here and we were praying, and as we were praying, the Lord impressed on me to give some money, and he said, call it first fruits. Because I know the scripture in Proverbs where it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So that's Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. But I went away on Wednesday night and was like, first fruits. You know when something starts niggling? Like, there's some more to this than just one scripture and one thought. So I went away and I was looking through, you know, get the Strong's out, get the laptop out and have a research. And first fruits is one of the feasts of the Lord that he lines out in Leviticus. So I'm going to read from there. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture tonight and then look at some of the application for us. So in Leviticus and chapter 23, I'll give you a chance to get there because there's a lot to read. Give me a shout if you're still turning pages. We good to go? So verse 4 says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. That's good news to me. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb in the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, and an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine, one fourth of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves, 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs in the first year, without blemish, 1 bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offering, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs in the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation for you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in your dwellings throughout your generation. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap to the corners of the field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So, going home Wednesday night and looking up first fruits, So I read through this, and I was vaguely aware, Passover's this week, or at least according to the Jewish calendar. I think Mary and the tame folks are going to be celebrating a Passover meal on Thursday, I think, Thursday, Friday. So it's 21st to the 22nd is Passover. I'm not a scholar by any means of all the different bits and pieces of the Passover meal and what it all means, but I do know that it's a remembrance of the deliverance of the people out of Egypt and a foreshadowing of Jesus' deliverance, of his death and his resurrection. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the 22nd to the 29th of April. And unleavened speaks of getting rid of sin and being holy. And then on the 23rd to the 24th of April is the Feast of the First Fruits, which is thankfulness, and it's faith for the harvest. But this is the very, very start of the harvest season. And they weren't supposed to eat anything of the new harvest until they brought the first part to the Lord. So Jesus was crucified at the Passover and was the Passover lamb. And we'll find that in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Jesus was raised again at first fruits. So he died on the Friday, was raised again on the Sunday, Sunday being first fruits. He was the firstborn. He was the first fruit from the dead. And Jesus delivered us into righteousness, delivered us out of sin and into holiness.
Hallelujah.
Into righteousness. And that's the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 5. Let me see if that's in there. Switch the heater off. Are we okay? Yeah. Verse 7 it says, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let's keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And in the word there, I'm competing, we're outside today. Cool. and then the word in Leviticus says we start a count of 50 days. Now that's the harvest season. So on the first day of the first fruits, the count begins. From the beginning of the harvest to the end of the harvest, there's seven Sabbaths on one day. So it's 7 weeks plus one, which is 50 days. Which is Pentecost.
That's right.
Pentecost means 50. Acts chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of Jesus that began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, after he... my tongue is so tight. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Pentecost is about to happen, don't worry.
The former account I made of Philip of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus was raised again and he's hung around for 40 days. You know, I read the scripture. I love the scripture. I love reading it. And there's things that I miss. That's a long time for Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, to be hanging around, talking to his people, talking to his disciples. And, you know, in that time, there's one account of him walking with the guys on the road to Emmaus. And he's explaining all about the Passover. He's explaining all about the law. He's explaining from start to end his whole story. And they're completely oblivious to who he is until the moment he breaks bread and starts having that fellowship with them. But yeah, it's just things that you glance over. He was there, he was teaching. He was teaching in depth things that he was teaching before, but they hadn't got the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching before, but they hadn't had the experience. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, please. And verses 38 to 42. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. Jewish tradition celebrates the birth of the Torah. That's when Moses received the Ten Commandments, the law, from the Lord at Pentecost. So the 50 days after first fruits, they celebrate the Torah. In Exodus 32, Moses comes down the mountain. Lorraine, you were speaking about this the other week. Moses comes down the mountain. The guys have all made a false idol. They're all shouting and praising something that they've made themselves. And Moses says to them, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me."
Mm-hmm.
And those who didn't were put to death. There was 3,000 people who didn't move over to the Lord's side. Old Testament, the law comes and brings death because of disobedience. The New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and 3,000 people are saved.
Oh.
So the law brings death, but the Spirit gives life.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of bits and pieces in there that we can go away and we can chew on, we can go and search it out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe these dates have a significance for us right now. It's not happenstance that the Lord starts speaking to me about first fruits on Wednesday and it's first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, but a week today. It's not by chance that Passover is coming up this week. It's also not by chance that I went to go and look at these things. Because last weekend, Anne and I were talking back and forth and saying, "We really need to pay attention to the Jewish feasts." And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Sure it was. Sorry, Anne. I was like, yeah, there's some value to knowing about these things. But in reality, what kind of bearing do they have on our experience? And then the Lord pulls you up and says, "Hey, I put them in place, so maybe pay attention, thanks very much." So, a week today is first fruits. A count of 50 starts from then to Pentecost. Who's good at maths? No. Right, so can you scroll down to June?
You want me to do IT?
Oh, I suppose not. Somebody can. I'll come and do it myself if you want.
I can see it on that, but I can't see it on here.
If you bring your cursor over onto the screen, onto the wall.
And it'll turn up on here. Sorry, I just dumped you in it right there.
Oh, right?
There you go.
You're on your way.
Pentecost.
Where am I going? Down to June. June,
June.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. June.
And what's it say on the
11th
for June right there?
Pentecost. Pentecost Eve.
Yes.
12th
is the day of Pentecost.
Well,
Al was happening that day.
I had no idea. That's why the Lord chose these dates.
I know that the Lord chose these dates because I was asking him, bits and pieces, circumstances, whatever, these dates have to mean something. These dates just have to be more significant than getting together for a party. They have to be, they have to be more significant to us. So I'm asking him about that. It's like, Lord, what are you going to do with us? What are you going to do that's going to be different and significant? Now, this is the end of the harvest season. Right now is the beginning of the harvest season. You know, the people of Israel, they gave in faith the first few bits of the harvest to the Lord, handed it over in an expectation to receive everything, to receive an abundant harvest. And I think the challenge at the moment, the challenge for myself anyway, like Wednesday night when the Lord came, give this seed to me and call it first fruits. The challenge is to give of our time, to give of our money, to give, just to lay everything at his feet. And I think there's appointed times for us to really strip back everything and make an intentional appointment with the Lord. An intentional time to say, right, this is what we're standing for, this is what we're going for, Lord, we're going to give this time to you. So this period of time is 50 days, or 51, 2, 3, if you count the Passover, etc. We need to be expecting some amazing things to happen. We can apply this to any period of 50 days, by the way, but I believe this is an our word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So the lining up of these dates aren't happenstance. They're not coincidence. I think they're appointments. Some of the applications of what we've read is being intentional with time, with the Lord and with his word. Jesus spent those 40 days after the resurrection explaining the word in more detail. I want us to expect in the next time period to get deeper revelation of the word, to get strategy from him, to understand where we are right now and what's about to change. We need an expectation to experience his word and greater revelation. We need to expect more experience and more awareness of now words. I believe it's time to refresh ourselves on his promises. That the promises of what he's saying he will do in his word and personal prophetic promises that he's given us and spoken over our lives. Because it's harvest time.
Hallelujah.
So refresh ourselves on his promises in anticipation of the harvest. Right, setting apart the first fruit, the firstborn, the first of anything, is about consecrating ourselves, that thing, to the Lord. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to set ourselves apart from him. But we've been reading it a lot in the last few weeks in Joshua. Consecrate yourselves because tomorrow we're going to pass over. There's so much stuff. It's mind-blowing and really exciting. The Israelites, they had to chuck away all the leaven. They had to get rid of anything that wasn't pure. you know, it's a bit of a spring cleaning time for us. Time to really let the Holy Spirit show us what's inside our hearts, what needs to be there, what doesn't need to be there. And really, I think next Sunday I've got a sense that if we come with hearts to give, we're going to hear from the Lord. We're going to begin to expect more of what He has for us. There's certainly a time to just lay it all open, lay it bare. Pentecost in the Jewish tradition is celebrated with 2 leaven loaves of bread. You know, at the beginning of the harvest season, at the beginning after Passover, they're getting all rid of the leaven, all rid of the sin. But then at Pentecost, they celebrate with 11 loaves.
Mm.
You know what else is described as leaven in the Bible? The kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 3 measures of flour until it was leavened. You know, we can strip ourselves away. We can lay ourselves open to the Lord, allow Him to pour everything He has into us with an expectation of harvest, an expectation of the kingdom to come and to grow, for the kingdom to permeate through every area of our lives, through our families, through our work, through our church, through our culture, through our government. Now, that's it in a nutshell, and I think the Lord's going to unpack that for us. But I want to read something that I read this morning, and most of it's applicable, and most of it's going to blow us away, especially in light of what you were speaking this morning, Donnie. Prophetic word, how to prepare yourself for prophetic Passover. It's Doug Addison. March has gone out like a lion and not like a lamb, as the saying goes. There has been fierce opposition from the enemy to get you distracted from what is coming. The wind of change from the Holy Spirit is going to continue to blow through the month of April and rearrange things. Get ready for sudden changes and a shift in the spiritual atmosphere in which it will become much easier to hear God. That excites me. It's going to be easier to hear God. I believe this period of time we're going to be hearing from the Lord. Really pointedly, that Him speaking His word, everything we're going to read is going to be a rhema. Everything that we hear is going to be a rhema. And we're going to start seeing things happening as He says it would happen immediately. Your solution has been released from heaven, but it may not have been fully manifested yet. Do not get caught up in negativity or false reports. What we've been reading about the land? You know that Moses sent in 12 guys that came back with a bad report, and Joshua sent in 2. It is important to stay focused on what God is speaking to you. There is a solution in the midst of the pollution. The enemy has released the storm of negativity as a smoke screen to keep you from seeing what is really going on. Passover is a Jewish festival that reminds us of God's greatness when He gave instructions to the Israelites in Egypt that would cause the destroyer to pass over their houses. The prophetic aspect of Passover is still available to us today when uncertain times come in the form of economic, spiritual, environmental, personal attacks against your family, health or finances. God can reveal strategies that will allow you to avoid them or even receive a blessing in the midst of difficult times.
Yes, Lord.
Release the strategy. Sounds familiar. Get ready to pass over into a new season starting in April. The Jewish holiday of Passover falls this year on April 22nd. You can expect to see things beginning to align strategically. The first few weeks of May after Passover will be a time when new things are going to be revealed and released. This is why it is important to prepare now, as much as you can, by completing things you've been putting off or felt God directing you to do. This will lighten your load as you cross over to the new times ahead.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
This year we can expect to see a very significant amount of prophetic strategies being released that will prepare the way for radical changes and breakthroughs coming in May. When God gave the Israelites a strategy for the destroyer to pass over their houses, it was not a blanket blessing for everyone. They had to listen to God and take action steps, and it's the same for us today. You know, that's one of the biggest things that's on my heart at the moment, is our experience is based on the Word. It comes from the Word and points to the Word. Because we can get charismatic. We can get kind of wrapped up in visions and prophecies and bits and pieces and forget to take the time to check it out against what the Spirit's saying to us. This year, during Passover, there is a new release coming from heaven that will allow the plans from the enemy to pass over you, whilst God pours out new life and blessings from heaven. This year is all about forgetting the former way of doing things and not dwelling on the past. Isaiah 43, verse 18.
There you go.
The old ways of thinking and doing things will limit and either hinder us.
Mm-hmm.
Not about a method. It's very important to lighten your load and streamline for the next few months. Practically, this means to clean out your closets and get rid of things that were from the previous season. This is both physical and spiritual. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Hebrews 12. It's also a time to clean up any behaviours or things we have held on to from the past. This might be things that we've brought us comfort in times of stress. God is giving you new power right now to overcome things that have overcome you previously.
Jesus.
There are things that we had grace for in a previous season but will not work for us in the new. This is because many were promoted to new levels last September. It takes a few months for this to start showing up in our lives. You have new authority, new freedom, and a new creative flow that is coming from heaven right now. You might need to realign your schedule or routine to capture this wind of spirit. Many people have suffered financial losses over the last few years. I have been prophesying this for a while. But April is a time in which this is coming up again. God is releasing new abilities to regain finances because the new things that God is calling you to do will cost money. God is calling us to something new, but we might be holding things back by doing things according to tradition as opposed to doing what the Father is doing. Jesus says he can only do what he sees the Father is doing. But many people today are only doing what they see their spiritual fathers or forefathers doing. This does not allow us to move into the new things as God opens them up. Many people are stalled because they keep trying to turn back to the old ways instead of leading out in the new. As you step into the new things God reveals to you, do not be surprised if people around you do not agree with you. Those who are preparing and waiting on God will see a new surge of supernatural favor over your relationships and finances. God is aligning you for blessing, and that is why it's important to be flexible and ready to take action as it is revealed.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to read one more scripture again and then finish there. Proverbs 3:9-8. 10, it says, honour the Lord with your possessions and your first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with meal.
New wine.
It's all about honour. It's all about giving the Lord first place. And he's going to do amazing things for us. But we need to partner with him for it. We need to come into alignment. We need to be ready for the strategy. And that means setting apart intentionally time for him, personally and corporately. That means showing up to meetings. That means spending an hour in prayer. That means being available to him. And not just moseying on through life thinking, God's just going to do it, he's going to do it, it's fine, it's fine. So the Israelites didn't do that. The Israelites brought the first, the very first fruits to him and said, that's for you, we're expecting the rest of the harvest. And then they gave him all the glory, they gave him all the praise. They had such a massive celebration when he came through on those promises. That's why the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, so that every promise could be made fully available to us. We have that power. We have his presence with us. We don't have to beg him to be with us. We don't have to beg him to do his word. But we do need to partner with him to hear what he's saying to us right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for the things you're about to do with us. I thank you for the things you're already doing. Father, I thank you that you just arrange things for us. I thank you that you arrange Passover and the feast of unleavened breads and everything to show off Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're showing it off to us right now. You're showing off your presence. You're showing off what you will do for those
Hallelujah.
Who seek after you.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
Father, I thank you for this time we're about to enter into. I thank you for this period of time that starts on Thursday. I thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. I thank you for the deliverance you gave us. Father, I thank you for the harvest. We expect to see you making good on every promise. You making good on every word. And Father, we expect to see a harvest of souls that far exceeds
Hallelujah.
3,000.
That's right.
And that far exceeds what happened on the first day. Father, I thank you that it's your will that none should perish. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being your daughter. I thank you for the privilege you give us as sons and daughters to be heirs and co-heirs, to co-reign with you and to declare your worth. Father, I pray that we'd rise up with that roar. We'd rise up and speak out praise. Praise and proclamation. Father, I thank you. What you say we can have, we can have. What you say we can do, we can do. And Father, I thank you for this meeting we're going to have in June. I thank you that it is an appointed time. And it will be a huge celebration. Father, I thank you that you go before us. I thank you that you made a way for us. And Father, I thank you for your provision. Thank you for the words you're releasing. Father, I thank you that you love us so much. Father, I pray that you would be glorified and that people will be drawn to you in this period of time, Lord. We expect to see big things. Father, where our vision is lacking or where we fail to grasp what you're doing, Father, I pray that you'd expand our vision, that you'd lift us up and that you'd show us everything that you want to give to us. Just as you did with Abraham, you showed him all the land. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a wider vision, a bigger vision. And, Lord, the strategies to bring that to pass.
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray your name would be glorified. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.